Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! We are the fifth day of June, 2014. Audio started a little prematurely there for something I have planned. It is the fifth day of June, 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. This of course, being where you should, where you can go to find today's selection of the news. I did my job again today and got some news posted on the website. And I hope you enjoy them. I try to find a selection of interesting stuff from around the world that might grab your fancy, some more serious than others, some more silly than others. Go by, wander, have a look. Also at headonradionetwork.com, you can find access to the chat room, which is free and easy to participate in. Folks wandering by this evening. Already we have Asa and Jan and indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky in the chat room. Yes, Marty, I'm live. That's why I said it's the fifth day of June 2014. But thanks for letting me know. I appreciate it. The equally indefatigable Ben Birch solved our server problems yesterday evening. Took a little bit of work, and the program was a bit of a mess last night. But everything seems to be, and that is, by God, solid wood I'm knocking, running okay. So we have that. Also at headonradionetwork.com, you know this, of course, the ever-present, ever-important PayPal button. And because of the way things have shaken out this week, we find ourselves in an early June hole. We are in a $330 hole, which is substantial and includes $45 that we are still trying to find to meet Shirley's Wisconsin challenge, which we began on Tuesday. This is the longest it's ever taken to make to match Shirley's Wisconsin challenge, and it makes for a rather grim month of June too, for that matter. So I'm hoping we can take care of that. And golly, it would be wonderful if we could take care of the whole fundraising hole and just be dealing with tomorrow's regular fundraising goal that way. So, PayPal button or the traditional mail address, whichever you prefer. If you want to go by the mails, just let me know so that I can give a heads up to Boss Man Wayne so that he doesn't have to wear his spider-proof gloves when he goes to the mailbox. Okay? Yeah. So, 33 folks, $10 a piece. And the 66 folks at five. Oh God, $330 at one. But that's how we keep all of this going. And really, in the long run, it's not a huge fundraising goal. $150 in the evening. Gracious sakes, I'm watching some there's all kinds of fundraising going on all over the interweb tubes, especially on the progressive side of things, because we don't have the Koch brothers out there writing checks. No, on the progressive side of things, progressive organizations that do that sort of thing throw nickels around like manhole covers. And for almost 10 years now, this has been an effort that has been run almost entirely on your determination to have independent, hopefully occasionally entertaining, radio media. So that's, I mean, that's, you know, we get into holes, things don't get paid, show disappear. That's just how it goes. Okay, so it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and there's some real oh-my-God material. Like I said, a piece of audio started a little bit early. I got to share this with you guys. It is by far and away not the most important story of the day. In a typical Happy Talk newscast on the for-profit media, this would be something that maybe you would save for what's called a kicker at the end of the program where everybody goes away grinning. What we have here is a family values, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian by the name of Josh Brasheen, from out in Oklahoma, Stan. I learned about this via Charlie Pierce and his Esquire blog, who learned about it via Barry Friedman, who takes one for the team by living in Oklahoma and following Oklahoma's politics. There's a great debate going on in Oklahoma, Stan, right now over, of course, Common Core, which everyone knows is a sneaky way to get our children to bow down to their blue-helmeted UN overlords because Obama is the Antichrist. Yeah. And so this is actual audio of floor debate regarding Common Core. And Josh Brasheen, by way of proving how nefarious Common Core is going to read from Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. Oh, dear. This might take a little bit of work. Of course, he's a brilliant speaker, Josh Brasheen is. And well, let's just pick it up in medias res.
It's on you. And I tell you, we've done a real poor job. And I'll tell you that forecasting what happened in New York is what is very likely to happen in Oklahoma. And if someone said the majority of schools have already embraced this, well, that's not the information I've gathered. The information I've gathered is you start talking to teachers. Teachers have been sitting, teetering, wondering if they had the time to go to corestandards.org and delve into it. And we should not have created the time for them to do that. I want to talk about how we're being rawhided through the Common Core.
Rawhided? Hit them up, move them out, rawhide? Okay, I'm just a simple hillbilly, so I'm going to need a little translating help from people out in the great Midwest, because that sounds like something that happens maybe in a seedy dive bar on a Friday night. Anybody want to help me out with what it is to be rawhided? Does that have anything to do with the young Clint Eastwood? I don't know.
Initiative. You remember Senator Ivester Rawhide? Don't try to understand them, just rope and throw and brand them.
Oh, well, there was going to be an explanation. So you don't have to send in the email. Apparently people are getting roped, thrown, and branded in Oklahoma. And, well, one never knows. I mean, these upstanding family values, Bible-believing Christians are liable to like that sort of thing. They're forever being caught at it.
You got a lot of math teachers, some of you are hearing from. They're saying, I don't understand these standards. How can I teach these 40-year teachers in the classroom? But we're saying, hey, just forget if you don't understand them. Just do it. Trust us. 300 billion dollars investment from the ARRA federal stimulus dollars are going to assess them. And just trust us. If there are better standards. Let's talk about what some of the experts have to say about the standards. Sandra Stotsky, who wrote...
Skip a bit, brother.
Got one more good cause exemption you will find in this bill for retained kindergartners. And what about the Tenth Amendment? All powers
relegated to the United States by the Constitution, reserved to the states or the people therein. What about the 10th Amendment? What do you do with that? Well, these are state-led standards. No, they're not state-led standards. Well, yeah, they are. Well, let's talk about, and I'll steal from my colleague, Representative Nelson. If they're state-led standards, and on page 25 and 29 of this bill, we say we can't do anything in creation of standards that ceded control to the federal government, then what's the issue with the bill? If we didn't cede control to an outside entity, then there should be nothing wrong with this bill.
Yeah, okay. He's apparently worried about the fact that maybe the Obama jackbooted thugs are going to come down and make little Oklahoma Stan children learn about the demon evolution. You never know. This is great stuff, I'm telling you.
In the right-hand column of that webpage at corestandards.org, you will see blue-lettered.
Blue-lettered? Oh, my. He's working blue now.
In the right-hand column, you'll see read the standards. Click on that. And then below that, you'll have a choice in blue letter to see English Language Arts standards. Click on that.
Mm-mm.
Then you're going to see a yellow and orange list that's going to appear on the right side of the page. And at the very bottom of that list, you're going to see something that says English Language Arts. It gives you appendix A, B, and C. Choose B. I want you to click on that. This is where our teachers are going to know what standards to submit to our students in the classroom. And you're going to find a PDF document. It takes you about 2 or 3 minutes to pull that PDF up.
2 or 3 minutes to pull that PDF up because America and web speed. Yeah, there's a lot of goobers in the gallery there in the Oklahoma Stan State House wearing their T-shirts that say, Common Core is not okay.
And I want you to scroll to page 11. And then I want you to scroll to page 12. And you're going to read something right after you find To Kill a Mockingbird, which shouldn't, bother any of us for 10th through 12th graders. But you're going to find something called the bluest.
I find that a little surprising that To Kill a Mockingbird isn't bothering the people. I'm sure it does. Because God knows enough people have tried to ban the book. Don't be so optimistic, Josh. There's going to be somebody in Oklahoma Stan that's put off by To Kill a Mockingbird. Oh, but the bluest eye. Here we go. This is the comedy goodness. This is the right wing gold.
12. And you're going to read something right after you find To Kill a Mockingbird, which shouldn't bother any of us for 10th through 12th graders. But you're going to find something called the bluest eye. It's in your schools. It's in a school in my district. This is suggested reading to help students reach the highest mark on Common Core assessments. Because remember, the whole point is for every state to be compared against themselves. And so we're going to have model assessments paid for by the federal government. And that's going to lead to model curriculum. And what teacher who doesn't want the best scores on that test is not going to do everything they can to bring in this model curriculum?
Oh, by the way, did I mention that while they are, in fact, optional, you might want to get the duct tape and tennis ball out? Yeah. It's early, I know, but it's Oklahoma. You want this thing. You want them handy.
Big Money, Prentice Hall, Pearson's. And now instead of us worrying about the buying power of Texas, we've got the entire nation's buying power. Instead of us having a wall of standards for Oklahoma that somewhat more aligns with Texas than it definitely does New York or California, we're now subject to a lot more content and curricula to meet the standards. But it's just about standards, right? No. At corestandards.org, on page 11 and 12, that appendix I just told you about, the bluest eye. Let me read you a little bit about the bluest eye. On page 162 to 163, it's going to be read to meet the ELA for 10th through 12th graders right now. If you come August, September, and October, this is what your students are going to be reading.
Except for the fact that this guy's a liar because it's only suggested reading. But since when have facts mattered to Repiglicans?
A bold desire ran down his GENIT soften the lid.
Really? No, this is where the comedy gold kicks in. Apparently, there's a rule of operation in the Oklahoma Stand State House, well of the Senate or whatever, that says you can't say genitals.
It's going to be red to meet the ELA for 10th through 12th grades right now. Come August, September, October. This is what your students are going to be reading. A bolt of desire ran down his genitals, softening the lips of his anus. He wanted her F-bomb tenderly, but the tenderness wouldn't hold. The tightness of her V, and I'll leave it to your imagination, was more than he could bear. So seemed...
The tightness of her V, and I'll leave it to your imagination. Vicar? Victrola? Venus Flytrap? A lot of words start with V. Vegetable? Volkswagen? He said he was going to leave it to our imagination, so apparently this guy's having sex with a Volkswagen. And that does, I admit, take some pretty serious imagination. Genitals. A-N-U-S. Because, you know, we can't be saying that. Do you suppose they spell A-N-U-S when they're talking about a farm bill or an agriculture bill or animal husbandry regulation? Does Oklahoma even have a law? Vodka. There's another V word. The tightness of her vodka. Well, I guess that means she was pretty liquored up, you know, to get tight, you know, to alcoholic reference. Does Oklahoma have a law against having sex with cattle? Volvo? Now, of course, that calls to mind the great early Saturday Night Live skit with Emily Latella asking, why does he want to lick my Volvo? V, I'll leave it to your imagination. But really, does Oklahoma have a law against having sex with farm animals? Or any animals, for that matter? Because I know... because I saw it posted on the Cheech and Chong webpage, the observation that in two states in the United States, it is legal to smoke cannabis. However, in 23 states, it is not illegal to have sex with animals. Is Oklahoma one of those states? If they were to debate a don't have sex with animals bill, would Senator Josh Brasheen be required to spell A-N-U-S? Would he have to spell G-E-N-I-T-A-L-S? When drafting criminal statutes, it's generally good to be as specific as one may. Would he, in this debate, would he, if I'll leave it to your imagination... Vixen? But he doesn't want Jesus to get mad at him, so we understand, don't we?
It's 162 to 163. It's going to be red to meet the ELA for 10th through 12th grades right now. Come August, September, October. This is what your students are going to be reading. A bolt of desire ran down his genitals, softening the lips of his anus. He wanted her F-bomb tenderly, but the tenderness wouldn't hold. The tightness of her B, and I'll leave it to your imagination, was more than he could bear. His soul seemed to slip down his guts and fly. And I get so graphic, I can read that. And then a gigantic, he made, removing himself, he grabbed his genitals.
Didn't spell it.
That's the bluest eye. I'm waiting for somebody to gavel me down, honestly. But we'll let it in our classrooms. Can't read it on the floor of the Senate, but we'll let it in our classrooms. Dreaming Cubans.
Wait a minute. Is he going to be censured now? Because he did say genitals the second time.
Next one on page 12. But folks, this is corestandards.org, where our teachers are going, and our librarians are bringing the books aligned to Common Core so our teachers can get the best, for their students can have access to get the best.
Why can't they just read the Bible? Like God intended. Yeah, I know. I know. But that's precious. You can't... apparently there's some sort of rule in Oklahoma that you can't say vagina on the floor of the state senate. Are there fainting couches? I'm waiting. Won't somebody please gavel me down? Why would they? That's probably the most comic fun that they've had in that pathetic institution in God knows how long. But yeah, so like I said, not the most important story of the evening, not earth shattering, but worth noting. Yeah, absolutely worth noting. Now, it is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but Prayer Meeting Wednesday kind of got foreshortened last night. So I don't think it inappropriate at this point in time to check in with one of our favorite religious leaders here in the country, Dick Land, who is president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, which is run by the Southern Baptist Convention. Dick Land did himself an interview with Family Research Council President Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, and well, other folks heard it. I got the recording right here. Dick Land is all upset about the case that I mentioned last night. Where and the whole fundamentalosphere is equally hopping mad because a civil rights commission ruled against a guy who said he wouldn't make no wedding cake for no homosexuals, and of course that means that the jackbooted fascist thugs are already on the march through America. Just ask Dick Land.
Stop and think about this. I mean, first of all, this baker did not refuse to serve these people. He offered them, his services. He just didn't want to provide his services as part of a gay wedding ceremony. And you know, to me,
you would think that Dick Land was saying there that this baker was expected to show up at the wedding, cut the cake, maybe even leap out of the cake. Well, he offered them his services, just not for a homosexual wedding. Ew, brother.
Me, this would be like going to an...
Wait, did I hear the word like? Are we going? Does this mean we're going to have ourselves a simile? Why, yes. And since we're dealing with Dick Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, well, you can guess how this is going to work out. Not well.
This would be like going to a bakery owned by an African American, and saying, by the way, you have to bake a cake for a KKK induction ceremony.
Right. because two people who have committed their lives to one another and love one another and want to celebrate the commitment they have made to one another, if they happen to be of the same gender, two guys, two women, that's just like the Klan, because, you know, gay people have this history of oppressing other races, and gay people have this history of lynchings and cross burnings. It's like that. I mean, Dick Land wouldn't lie. He's a man of God.
Cake for a KKK induction ceremony, or under penalty of law, or that is just absurd. I mean,
well, I got that part right. It is just absurd. And meanwhile, in a previous conversation, back in 2013, Dick Land, and he apparently has he's got a fixation with the Klan, because back in 2013, he said that the homophobes could be ostracized to the level of being Ku Klux Klansmen. And he said the homosexuals, well, they don't believe in a live and let live philosophy. Let's be very clear about what their agenda is. Their agenda is to have the homosexual lifestyle affirmed by society as healthy and normal and as perfectly acceptable to young people, and to have those who disagree with that ostracized to the level of being Ku Klux Klansmen. Is there some truth in that? Well, Klansmen are hate-filled idiots. They're bigots. And it sounds like, let's face it, Dick Land is a theocrat. He wants to see his theocratic yearnings enshrined in law. Because, see, nobody else is allowed to believe as they wish or not believe. No, we got to believe like Dick Land believes. Luna, with an observation, Oklahoma, vulcanized vivisection. Well, we'll leave it to your imagination. See how it works? Yeah, exactly. And we can have, come on, you can imagine other V words throughout the program if the spirit moves you. Oh, me. But it's not just Dick Land who's out there worried senseless about the Homer sectionals. Oh, no. No. For this, we have to go to Baltimore. And pastor, they've got a church there called the Empowerment Temple. And Pastor Jamal Bryant is upset at the women folks. Because I guess you, It's a shtick that's working for that guy out in San Diego or Arizona. No, he's in Arizona, isn't he? What's his name? Anderson? So, other people have to. It's bandwagoning. Let's check in with Pastor Jamal Bryant. Beep.
Yeah. than physical abuse. They have gone through so much in their life that tried to mess with their mind. They had to fight just to have an imagination. The enemy wants them just to settle and maintain and pay bills and just take care of kids. But God said there's a greater dream over your life than paying BG&E, student loans, Visa, and wiping a baby's diaper. There's an anointing over your life, and I refuse to let the enemy take your imagination. Why is the enemy after black women's imagination and dreams? Be seated, please. I want to show you something very quickly. Why is the enemy after black women's imagination and dreams? Last week, I posted something on Instagram I want to show with you. This is what God gave to me. Here it is. Little girls with dreams become women with vision. All right, y'all just missed that. Let me give it to you.
Okay, we got it. Skip a bit, brother. Well, this goes on for 30 minutes. And eventually, he explains how women are more emotional than men are. And then he says that his own neo-Pentecostal movement has made it so that, and this is a quote, everybody wants to shout and sashay because we've made the church comfortable for men not to be men, but to be sanctified sissies. He then continues, and of course he gives all the credit to the devil for this. We have a greater number of young black lesbians than we do of young black male homosexuals, and they're becoming younger and younger in the eighth grade, in the sixth grade. And then, speaking of women, he says, these hoes ain't loyal. Blaming women for men romping outside the marriage because Eve, original sin, you know, all of that toxic crap. Oh, we got tons to work with this evening. Thanks very much to Henry. Henry, thanks to Henry, we have finished with Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. So Henry just doubled his contribution. Thank you, Henry. And that means that we also have $280 to go in fundraising this evening. So thank you very much, Henry. And hopefully we can get the rest of the way before the evening is out. Oh, it goes on and on and on this evening. And there's some serious news, and then there's some, some freedom news. Yeah. So this takes place in Nevada, in Las Vegas. Be careful in Las Vegas, upon whose doors you knock. There is apparently a birthday party going on in the 9200 block of Wittig Avenue. And a couple of friends left and then came back. And granted, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning when they knocked on the door of the wrong house. Then they didn't, not realizing they were at the wrong house, got a little uppity, or maybe they were just liquored up. One doesn't know. But they banged on the door and argued with the homeowner. And the homeowner, instead of calling the police and saying, you know, I got a couple of people outside my door. I don't know who they are. Come get them. No. The man got his freedom protector. And using his freedom protector, shot one of the two men in the chest and
Wolverines!
Killed him dead. It gets worse. Yes, it does. According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the guy who did the shooting was Las Vegas Fire Department Captain Victor Thompson. And according to the paper, reports that the victim had died in the shooting were erroneous. Oh, okay. So we're trying to figure out whether he's dead or not. And, well, it wasn't because he got shot. It was because of all the blood loss. Because this here's America. And you shoot first and ask questions later. Inspiring, isn't it? What else? Lots. This is, okay, let's take a minute for a happy story. Comes out of Nepal. And happy stories out of Nepal are good. What would be yesterday in Nepal, I guess, because it's already tomorrow there. 2,000 people, 2,000 Nepalese, everyone from lawmakers to children, little school students, gathered together in a park outside of the Nepalese capital, Kathmandu, to celebrate World Environment Day. Did you know yesterday was World Environment Day? How many outlets of the for-profit media announced that it was World Environment Day? Oh, hell no, that'd be socialism, wouldn't it? What were they gathered for? They gathered in the park. They counted down the time, then a horn blew, and 2,001 people simultaneously hugged trees. Tripti Prajapti told Agence France-Presse, when you hug a tree, you feel connected. Even as an individual, you can contribute to protect and conserve trees. 20 members of the Nepalese legislature said, we came here to encourage the kids. Just hugging a tree may not make a difference, but it raises awareness. They are hoping, the organizers are, that their tree-hugging event will prove to be a new world record, noted and recorded by the Guinness Book of World Records, folks. Can you imagine what would happen if we tried to get 2,000 people to hug a tree in West Virginia? The entire coal industry would stand around and threaten their lives. Kind of the way a mountaintop removal worker did some several years ago at the 4th of July picnic at Larry Gibson's Cayford Mountain retreat, when the mountaintop removal worker threatened to slit the throats of a father and his child, you know, for being insufficiently, what, loyal to the coal industry. Yeah. At present, the tree-hugging world record stands at 936 people, which record was set in Oregon in July 2013. But I had no idea that yesterday was World Environment Day, and I kind of pay attention to this stuff. And if you never have hugged a tree, I encourage you to try it. It's a very pleasant experience. I hugged a little itsy-bitsy baby redwood out in Muir Woods a year and a half ago. And I dare say the sensation was almost transcendent. Lo and behold, my ache colleague, Bo Webb, and his new bride are off in California right now, and I saw a photo on his Facebook page of him hugging a 3,000-year-old tree. Couldn't even get his arm. Well, I mean, it wasn't a fair fight, but I think the tree was hugging back. Which would you rather hug? A tree or a lump of coal? Ech. Oh, and this. Oh, always this. Yes, absolutely. Our buddy Michael pointed this out to me, and there was no joy in seeing it, none in the least. I've seen the story in a couple of different publications so far today. China, and of course there's been a lot of news about China in the last couple of 24-hour news cycles because of the 25th anniversary of the slaughter in Tiananmen Square. Oh, how nice. Dan, with an acronym, Nepal, Never Ending Peace and Love. There's got to be something going right for a nation that has legislators who will come out and encourage children to hug trees, even if it's only symbolic. But no, there has been a lot of news about, and of course, there's no news in China about the 25th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre that never happened. No, really, it didn't happen. Those were all just made-up photographs. Yeah. But there was a huge vigil in Hong Kong. It, too, was any mention of it was suppressed in media as well. But in behind the talk about the Tiananmen Square anniversary, this, which strikes me as being quite serious. The headline from the BBC says merely, "Risk posed by China mountain removal." The story is by science correspondent Rebecca Morell. She writes, China's campaign to bulldoze mountains to create land to build on could cause extensive environmental problems, scientists say. That might be the understatement of the evening. But the long and the short of it is that mountaintop removal has found its way to China, and they're not even doing it for coal. They're doing it just to create land to build things on. If you pay attention to the issue here in West Virginia, for instance, you'll know that West Virginia's bought and paid for politicians and the coal industry, and people like Don Blankenship and Joe Manchin will say things like, well, West Virginia's a mountain state, and what we need is flat land for us to build stuff on. And mountaintop removal allows us to have that flat land. They made some flat land to build a Walmart on down in Logan County, West Virginia. And that thing has become an absolute disaster. You can't wreck the land and just not have it tell on you. Researchers from Chang'an University in China have warned that dozens of mountains, oh, they're only in the dozens yet, we're past 500 here, Dozens of mountains have already been flattened, and this is causing air and water pollution, soil erosion, and flooding. They say the activity is happening on an unprecedented scale. Oh, Chang'an University researchers, have a look at Central Appalachia. I think it's precedented. The story is published in the journal Nature. And Professor Pei-Yue Li says, because there have been no land creation projects like this before in the world, there are no guidelines. Oh, but there have. There have. Professor Pei-Yue Li. There have. About one-fifth of the Chinese population apparently lives in mountainous areas. The mountaintop, well, and they're not even fooling with mountaintop removal. This is just mountain removal. The BBC report noting around the country in cities such as Chongqing, Xi'an, Yichang, Lanzhou, and Yan'an, dozens of hilltops have been leveled. And then and you read this and you're going, wow. Hey, I recognize this terminology. The soil and rock is then used to fill in valleys, and overall this has so far created hundreds of square kilometers of flat terrain. Way, way down in the article, you get this. While mountaintop removal is sometimes used by the mining industry, particularly in the U.S., researchers say the scale of this in China is unparalleled. They warn that turning... They warn that turning hills into plains is throwing dust particles into the atmosphere, polluting waterways, causing landslides and flooding, and endangering plants and animals. They add that the flattened land could also be unsuitable to build on. All you got to do is ask a few questions. We'll be happy to tell you. I mean, we could tell you, for instance, about the prison that was built on a mountaintop removal site, which the locals refer to in their characteristic humor as sink, because it won't remain level. Yan'an, for example, says Professor Li, is the largest project ever attempted on land that is composed of thick, wind-blown silt. Such soft soils can subside when wet, causing structural collapse and land subsidence. Building on such soils is quite dangerous, and it would take a very long time for the ground base to become stable. I think Margaret Palmer from the University of Maryland said stability on a blasted mountain can be achieved in about 100,000 years' time. It was either 10,000 or 100,000. I can't remember which. No. Marty asking, no land creation projects before in the world? How do the Japanese build those artificial islands like the one that Kansai International sits on? That's the same thing. No, it's land creation projects from blasted mountains. Come on over, Professor Li. We'd be happy to show you sink. Or we'd be happy to show you the Wally World there in Logan. And then, of course, because of what they're doing, because of the nefarious and toxic effects of ultrafine particulate matter from blasting, because of what happens in the water, about 10, 15 years from now, they'll start having some birth defect problems and some cancer problems and some premature heart disease and lung disease problems. You see, it doesn't have anything to do with coal. It has not a blessed thing to do with coal. It has to do with the massive scale of the blasting operations. The scientists, who I can't imagine will be scientists for very much longer, say that the Chinese government should work with national and international experts to fully assess the risks before they continue. Commenting on the issue, Professor Brian McGlynn from Duke University in the U.S. told BBC Radio 4's Inside Science program, in the U.S. and China, we're moving ahead without much insight into what the result will be, especially when it comes to the water, the hydrology, the water quality implications. Well, I don't think that's especially there, Doc. because we're also moving forward, especially without regard to what happens to human beings when they breathe ultrafine particulate matter for 5, 10, 15 years. Hint, birth defects, cancer, heart disease, etc. So maybe it would be wise to pay attention to what's... because this is not going to end well. Then again, and I highly... I constantly encourage people who haven't yet to read both Charles C. Mann's 1491 and the follow-up 1493. Because periodically through history, disasters have struck in the area we know as China, causing the culture there to, it expands and then it contracts and collapses in on itself. Maybe that's the nature of human culture generally. But the degradation of the Los Plateau, the unpredictability of flooding that led to the Three Gorges, is it the Three or Five Gorges dams? Can't remember. That's going to be a nightmare. Kind of already is. And this may be as great a single risk to the Chinese people as any they have lately faced. Then again, it's also a function of the massive expansion of the out of control population there. You get too many people and not enough places to put them. It's a question of something that's termed carrying capacity. And whether you're talking about the number of deer who can live in a certain amount of forest or the number of humans who can live on a single planet, it's still a real factor. I would not want to live anywhere near any of these Chinese mountaintop removal communities. As has already been noted, the flooding is going to be a terrible problem. And good God, the blasting alone. Well, if they build something and they're still blasting and the ground's still settling, hell, an apartment complex could collapse like that. Easy. Easy. Tour guides, Marty. I was reading about it earlier today. Tour guides, if you tour Beijing and you go to Tiananmen Square and you say, hey, where was it that guy stood in front of the tank? The tour guide will look at you and say, what guy? What tank? Oh, you know, the Tiananmen Square. What? That didn't happen. It didn't exist. Because Marty asked, Tiananmen Square didn't happen. What's Alex Jones saying? It was all Obama's doing? Well, not yet. He hasn't. But give him a chance. Just give him a chance. Oh, let's see. By the way, a happy birthday wish going out to our longtime chat room moderator, Lottie. Hope you've had a very happy birthday indeed, Lottie. What else? Because there's a lot. Now, it is the 5th day of June here. In short order, if it isn't already, it will be the 6th day of June across the Atlantic. And there's been much in the way of commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, the largest amphibious invasion in the history of the world, and not to miss out on an opportunity, Pope Francis wrote a letter commemorating the 70th anniversary, and he sent it to French Catholic leaders. In his letter, he said, and this is a quote, that the 70th anniversary commemoration of the Normandy invasion, quote, reminds us that excluding God from the lives of people and societies can bring nothing but death and suffering. Not exactly sure what he's talking about there, because God was certainly not excluded from the lives of Nazi Germany. Hence the belt buckles, Gott mit uns, God with us. This was not a... I hate that kind of dishonesty. That somehow or another it was the forces of Christianity versus the forces of Nazism, when nothing could be further from the truth. Sure, there were Christians who fought there were Christians who fought on both sides of that war. And nominally, at least, the huge majority of the soldiery who fought on the European front were Soviet citizens, who were said, I mean, the Soviet state was, that was the atheist state, not Nazi Germany. Further into the message, and this was the part that kind of got me, European nations, hold on, I kind of got to strap in for this one. European nations can find in the Bible of Christ the Prince of Peace, the root of their history, and a source of inspiration for establishing ties that can be ever more fraternal. Okay, I'll buy the ever more fraternal part if that's how you read the Bible. That's fine. I don't know how you get to find build a community that's ever more fraternal out of stories of how a guy's daughters got him liquored up and raped him, but, you know, one man's nightshirt's another man's cassock. No, but it was that part about how the Bible is the root of European history. As someone who has spent no small amount of time wandering around through the history of Europe, and history generally, I feel absolutely comfortable in saying that that statement is 100% purely false. The Bible is not the root of European history. It is not as if there was not a Europe before the Bible. Everything in the Bible happened in the Levant, in Palestine. And the fact that it was used as a template to be layered across Europe later on does not mean that European history only begins to exist with the... Because, my God, it's the 4th century A.D. before Constantine declares it to be a state religion. And even after that, you have to get through the reign of Julian the Apostate, who tried to turn things around and save Europe from Christianity. I mean, it didn't work out. He died young. Nobody knows why. But Francis did do a good job of noting this is another quote, the numerous soldiers who left their country to land on the beaches of Normandy to fight against Nazi barbarism in free-occupied France. The Vatican then said Francis, quote, also does not forget the German soldiers dragged into this drama like all victims of war. I've seen footage of the rallies. I think some of them weren't dragged. Some went sort of marching and whistling happily. But to suggest that Christianity is the foundation of the history of Europe? No Caesar, no Cato, no Alexander the Great, no Sophocles, no Euripides, no Pericles, no Plato, no Socrates, no Aristotle, no Diogenes, no Democritus. No Arminius, no paganism, no Elysia. Interesting, huh? No Brutus, no Cassius. With his lean and hungry look. Nope, Europe has no history until it gets the veneer of Christianity laid across its ancient history. It's kind of insulting. No Boudica. Nope. And we can probably forget about the slaughter by the Christians of the last great pagan philosopher there in Alexandria, whose name I sadly forget. Shame on me. So, just to, you know, just a note that sometimes maybe it's better. Sometimes it's better not to try to rewrite history, especially in commemoration of the 70th anniversary of something as huge as D-Day. And it really is going to be a big deal later in the day on the French coast. There are her royalness Elizabeth has made a trip. Barack Obama is going to be there. Vlad Putin will be there. David Cameron, François Hollande. Yeah. Earlier today, the aging D-Day veterans went marching, walking more like, along the beaches and through the villages of the Normandy coast. It must surely have been a sight to see, because at the very youngest, the youngest of any of them couldn't be any younger than 87, 88 years old. Much fewer will be there for the commemoration of the 80th anniversary, almost none for the 90th, and maybe a small handful for the 100th anniversary. Ah, thank you, Devin. Hypatia. Yes. It was Hypatia who was torn limb from limb by the Christians in Alexandria. Hypatia. I should be much better. I should be... actually, it would be Hypatia. But yes. She. So, we find ourselves at the end of the first hour. I'm awfully, awfully glad that we finally finished Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. And hopefully now we can find 28 more folks at $10 apiece or any other variation on that theme to help get us out of the hole here. Oh, let's see, a little music. we go. Yeah, I like this one a lot. Seems appropriate. You're listening to Conversation Radio. A reminder of the number 304-574-8178. Have I finally got it memorized? 304-574-8178. That's the number if you want to participate in Conversation Radio. And remember, until we get the phone processor back, or, well, actually sent off and fixed and get it back, or find out if it can be fixed, that's the number we're going to be using for the telephone portion of the program, 304-574-8178. If you want to participate in the conversation, you are more than welcome to do so. I encourage it, as a matter of fact. But because there are not six lines with which to put folks on hold, if somebody's on the line, you'll have to wait until the line clears before we can do the next call. 304-574-8178. Listener-supported Conversation Radio for this, the 5th day of June, 2014. Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tapping one small, elegant shoe in time. Oh, the way she plays with him. Smile at one and dance with another. Pretty soon they're forming up a line. And she's laughing. Laughing into 1939. Oh, laughing. Laughing into 1939. Oh, the party draws them in. It breathes and moves to a life that's its own. In its arms, it's gathering all time. From the dark, he watches her moving in and out of the bobbing crowd. If she even notices, she gives no sign. And she's laughing, laughing into 1939. Oh, laughing, laughing into 1939. For tonight is New Year's Eve. Uncork your spirits and welcome it in. Who knows what it's got up its sleeve. Can't wait for it all to begin. Stand by the girl with a purple balloon. Look in her eyes, just lights up the room. In the corner of her smile, she'll be seeing you soon. Under a mistletoe moon. Balcony. Come the king and queen, and the crowd go wild. He's a little bit nervous, but that's just fine. And they're laughing, laughing into 1939. Oh, laughing. Laughing into 1939.
course, if you couldn't guess the title of that, of course, Laughing into 1939. Al Stewart. Good God, that album came out when? Back in the 1990s. The name of the album is Between the Wars. 1995. Amazing. Beautiful guitar work on there by Lawrence Juber. Am I mispronouncing it? J-U-B-E-R. So let's go to the phones on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. I do believe we have Bill with us. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with you tonight. The reception on my end or something is bad. I don't know what it is.
Don't think we're having any, haven't had any reports of any buffering problems.
I can hear you now, okay. It's funny, you mentioned Queen Elizabeth. All of a sudden it hit me. I said, let me see, how old was I when she became queen? Was I 7 or 8? Jesus, she's been there forever, hasn't she?
Isn't she the longest reigning monarch at this point? The longest reigning British monarch?
Well, yeah, I would have to say so. Yeah, I'd have to say she's been there longer. Now, whether she knows it or not, I don't know. But
she's hailing up to travel. She's going over for the D-Day observances.
Because I have some problems trying to figure out who I am some days, but don't tell anybody. this D-Day stuff, you hit it on the head. I was going to greet you with the phrase, tonight we reach L.A., you know.
Yeah.
What a piece of work. I'm always reading something or learning something. The tanks that were named after Pershing,
yeah,
they had about 5 fan belts on the things. And they were breaking constantly. One unit in Korea that was using the things, they had to have a truck full of fan belts, you know, right behind the armor units. They had to be able to go get them. Another piece of the wonderful engineering of the our far-thinking military. You know, of course, the classic to me is the Sherman that ran high-octane fuel. Wonderful, you know, for a vehicle that's getting smashed with high explosives. You know, they didn't blow up fast enough. They had to have gasoline instead of diesel. And yet, I guess in Korea, a lot of the tankers like that stuff better than the Pershing and the Patton. They were not hot stuff, you know. They were not good stuff. And of course, we see in North Korea the real makings of a true communist state, don't we? Theoretically speaking, communist state.
Yeah. Or just a totalitarian family. Or a totalitarian dictatorship. I don't think that Marx ever predicated any sort of state on a hereditary dynasty.
No. Well, let me throw a question at you. What do you think if Grandpa Mao was dropped into China today? What do you think he would think about the government?
Oh, he would immediately recognize that he had been an absolute and utter failure.
Yeah.
Because China is no longer anything, well, to the extent that it ever was, particularly resemblant of communism, it certainly isn't now.
No.
It's fend for yourself. Granted, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of top-down censorship and authoritarianism, but that's not a sole hallmark of communism. That's a hallmark of authoritarianism. And to the extent that government has gotten married to corporate interests over there, it certainly seems a lot more aligned with the practical and working definition of fascism, doesn't it?
Yep. That's what it starts to smell like. And of course, that odor is wafting over here pretty good, too, you know.
Well, yeah, I mentioned that story about they're doing mountaintop removal now in China just to create space to build stuff. And I can't help remembering back when my dear friend and mentor Judy Bonds said, you know, this is going to happen all over the world if we don't show if we don't show the world that it has to stop. And so, you know, these buildings that they're throwing up on these mountain removal sites, they're gonna fall apart, they're gonna settle, they're gonna collapse.
No, well, you say you've got some problems with the prison.
Oh yeah,
Virginia?
Yeah, Kentucky. It's across the river, but it's laughingly referred to by the locals as Sink Sink. I mean, they couldn't get the bar, they couldn't get the doors to close. Because all the land settles so unevenly. Foundations crack.
God.
Crevasses open up.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And, and how much did they, how much did they cost, besides what mountaintop removal, what the cost is to human beings in, you know, on the land, what was the cost of building these
They cost a fortune. We built a big consolidated high school down in Mingo County up on a mountaintop removal site, and that place is a disaster.
You see, I am no engineer when it comes to, I could rototill a garden. Let's go that far with it,
Yeah, on a good day, I can too.
Yeah, and, but, you know, what do these people think? They thought they were going to get away with this? Or wasn't there any engineers that they talked to?
Well, sure, but the engineers want the work. I mean, it's the same. The entire process is corrupted. I mean, I find, for instance, the concept, initially the idea, and this is a little bit of inside baseball, but I think it's worth talking about, the idea of environmental impact statements. Where we try to make some assessment of what a project will do, vis-a-vis the environment.
Hold on a second, Bob. I gotta go because there's, I don't know who it is out there knocking on the damn door. I think it's a goddamn nurse to refill my prescriptions. This is the way they treat you, Bob. They don't call you. They don't say shit.
Don't worry about it. We can talk again.
Yeah, you take care.
All right, see you, Bill. But that line is clear now if you want to get in on the conversation, 304-574-8178. Environmental impact statements have become laughable. Look, for instance, at the environmental impact statement that was originally produced for the Keystone XL pipeline. It was produced by people who wanted to build it. And as I've mentioned before, throughout Appalachia, this area was heavily populated by indigenous peoples years and centuries long before the arrival of white folks. But so-called contract archaeologists are hired for surveys prior to blasting away a mountain, and invariably the report comes back the same. Nobody's ever been here. It's just another mountain. Go ahead, blast the hell out of it. When anybody who has spent time hiking the hills can tell you that there's all kinds of evidence of human habitation. Just is. What we need to be making an inquiry about, and Dr. John sent me an extended article that I read last night about Endicott, New York, and a vast pool of poison that is seeping out into the surrounding counties from an IBM complex. Because the money is always the first consideration. Hey, can we make money doing this? Yeah. Oh, might this stuff be poison? Shut up! There's money involved! If we are to ever be considered to be anything resembling enlightened, we're going to have to start asking, hey, is it going to kill people to do X? Not, hey, Can we minimize the damage so that we can make some money? No, no, no. Are we going to be killing people for a profit? And if the answer is yes, then the precautionary principle says you shouldn't be doing it. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bill, it's Mark.
Oh, no, it's Bob, it's Mark.
Hey, Mark, it's Bill. It's Mark. Sorry, Bob.
No worries, Mark.
I apologize. I was just jumping on the highway, getting a little tailgated here. I wanted to call and been listening to shows and listening to tonight's show, and also saw the article about the Chinese moving 700 mountains. And also just to quickly tie in the state of Kentucky and the coal industry and Mitch McConnell, you know, after being educated by yourself and the folks you have on your show, your special guests and contributors, I guess what so the state of Kentucky has a 20-year agreement for about $7 or $8 billion worth of coal to be shipped from the state of Kentucky, what, to India? Do I have that correct?
Probably. I mean, Fraser Creek Mining is operating in Kentucky, and they're owned entirely by an Indian consortium.
Yeah, I think Americans not only have a domestic view of international war business, they have a domestic view of their country. It's not necessarily even an age.
Well, you bringing up the export issue raises something that badly needs to be said, and that is, you know, there was this hissy that was had this past Monday over the emission standards for CO2, and you know, it was, I mean, the hyperbole was put into overdrive by the likes of Joe Manchin and Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul and Nick Rahal and David McKinley and Shelley Moore and yada yada, Natalie Tennant, blah blah blah
and,
blah blah. Well,
and Capito, whatever her name is.
Yeah, well, Shelley Moore, yeah. Shelley Moore Capito. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
I just think of her as Shelley Moore because she's Arch's daughter and she looks like her daddy in a bad wig.
I'll take the word for it.
You could look it up. But the larger point is that all of these emission standards do not do one damn thing about mountaintop removal, Mark, and we need to understand that in very, very plain terms. They do absolutely nothing about mountaintop removal, and they may, in fact, make it worse. Now, this is not me saying that we should not have CO2 emission standards. I think we should. I know we should, because we're cooking the planet right now, or we're cooking the human beings' ability to live on it. Okay? So if less coal is going to be burned in power plants, well, that doesn't mean less coal is going to be mined, because there is a ravenous export market. And in fact, mountaintop removal, and for that matter, underground dug coal, can just as easily be put on the world market and may be more profitable on the world market, because you can take stuff and sell it as metallurgical coal, whether it is or not. I mean, the coal industry is one giant fraud, Mark.
One giant what, Bob?
Fraud. It's a fraud.
Oh, I gotcha. Oh, fraud. Yeah, exactly.
So, sure, we'll export coal to India. We'll export coal to Russia. You know, you've got this woman who's the nominee for the Republican nominee for Senate from Iowa, who was talking about how she's gonna, you know, she's castrated hogs and she's gonna be tough on Putin. Well, I wonder how she'd feel to know that we're exporting coal to, we're not exporting. The Russian firm owns the coal in the United States, just like Fraser Creek Mine is owned by SRSA of Mumbai, India, which is owned by Shashi and Ravi Ruia. They own the coal the minute it comes out of the ground. It's not even being sold to them by an American firm. They own the whole shooting match.
It's theirs.
Yeah.
Are you also? Did you just say, Bob, that the that mountaintop removal has an exclusionary rule concerning what we're discussing. That, in other words, they don't have to apply to the laws concerning the carbon reduction.
The carbon emission standards apply to the burning of coal. But it doesn't apply to the mining of it. And right, so consequently it goes on to the export market, and there's no standards for Russian coal burning or Indian coal burning or Chinese coal burning or anywhere else for that matter.
Right. So what we could say is when I get on Facebook and I argue when I have the time to do it, and a lot of the people that think like you and I, support, I would say about 80% of the people that read what I put on there and my, I'm not very educated, but I mean, or people that think, I would say just normal or common sense, but that I show a photograph of a Chinese emission. It's a series of it's just raw orange huge clouds of pollution, and what Americans not only don't understand is our own American coal is being shipped to India and China and to Russia for a cheap consumption, but that in fact turns around and comes right back to our United States. Not only about 10 years ago the attorney generals from about nine northeastern states had gotten together with a class action type lawsuit from a legal perspective, whatever that may be called, and sued some major power companies, primarily in the Midwest, maybe one or two in Kentucky, but in any case, and of course, therein lies the politics. So if you have a right-wing Republican administration in there, they're going to obviously side with the polluters, but to visually see the pollution. And now, I just have rudimentary time and rudimentary knowledge, but, I think I have a pretty just heart. I guess people in China are protesting not only about pollution, there are protests about labor, but I mean, many cities are very difficult. They're uninhabitable to some degree. And of course, they had to stop their pollution before the Western companies would conduct themselves in the Olympics. But I think it's just like, and I love listening to Bill, and he has a lot of knowledge about things that concern war. But I think we don't things are moving so quickly. Things are very large. Things are not domestic anymore. It's a very global. It's a very global multinational. In other words, they're not going to punish Putin, militarily. They're punishing him and his friends with money they have in some banks that we may have access to. It's economic pressure. It's not so much, the old 50s Cold War mentality, and we're going to go slug it out and lose, 600,000 men. It's a very different world, and technology has so much to do with it, and finances and the dollar standard and things. I don't have it figured out necessarily, but I do continue to question just absolutely everything. But I would just say as a caller that it's very important that Americans that do have more education and knowledge and intelligence about the subject, if they were able to explain how important it is for we Americans, we have a window of opportunity. I think we have a little political momentum, which literally right now to understand that it's important that we conduct ourselves in a leadership way, because if America, North America, the United States, is neglectful, which we have been on and off and more on than off neglectful, that nobody that is a heavy polluter has any obligation to follow us. So in other words, you have to lead by true example. And when you have the right-wing coal companies like the hog butcher from Iowa, of course they burn coal plants, and I'm sad enough to say that I participated on the expansion of one to make a living. But
were you working to because there's been a lot of work had, for instance, boss yeah. man Wayne talks, Mark, about some of the guys that he deals with, that damn Obama killing coal, and yet these are guys who have had long-term jobs retrofitting an old stinky toxic coal-fired power plant to make it a little bit less so in the modern era.
Most of the people I work with, Bob, that have knowledge about the trades and crafts know that whenever we do pollution cleanup, scrubber implementation, and a lot of the scrubbers that are out there now were put in the 60s, 70s, more so in the 70s and 80s, now antiquated. The technology, they're old and worn out. And so, yes, I mean, the hardcore union professionals know that cleaning up of these plants are job creators, and I'm not speaking for yourself, but I'm a proud union Democrat, and it does put a lot of union people to work because of the federal standards that have to be met to get people onto the job. So yeah, there are young people that don't have any idea what they're a part of necessarily, and it's the job of people like myself to be self-critical, to educate them what they're participating in. They don't understand what prevailing wage is or minimum wage. That people in the United States, whether they're even involved with construction, don't realize necessarily that they're not competing with the standard minimum wage when you participate on a Davis-Bacon project prevailing wage, depending on what region you are in the United States as to what you are supposed to be paid. They don't know that. They think that they're competing with a Burger King worker, even though some are coming from Burger King. But so it seems to me, including many people on the political right, and I don't mean to sound mean, they're not even bright enough to defend their own arguments because they're not even smart enough to lie about what they're trying to.
Well, one of the essential problems we have, Mark, is that people who have been proven to be wrong time and time and time and time again are still getting airtime. Rachel Maddow did a brilliant job the other day talking about, and the, you know, one of the things that stood out in my mind was Henry Ford II in 1965 swearing that if auto manufacturers had to start installing seat belts, that it would be the end of the automobile industry in the United States. Seat belts. And of course, it was a lie. And then they said the automobile industry would be ended if we passed the Clean Air Act. Lied again. The same thing happens with the minimum wage. Every time we talk about raising the minimum wage in Nickel, there's some idiot from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or some right-wing freak who's, well, it'll collapse the economy if we give the working people a little more money.
And they
are wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. And the same thing with this with the current EPA emissions standards. They're wrong. Not the sun is not going to fail to rise. The days will, and the economy is not going to collapse. But they can't tell the truth. This has nothing to do with jobs. It has everything to do, Mark, with the ability of coal barons and their Wall Street and international banking financiers to make a killing off of killing other people. But they can't say, hey, we can't have these emission standards. We won't be as rich. Because nobody would have any sympathy for them.
And they, you know, just that sentence alone you just used, they won't be as rich. They're all, the people that control the message are all multi billionaires. I actually, you know, I work at the rudimentary level of things, and every time I pull into a gas station just to ballot, I'll see somebody, regardless who's next to me, and I'll get my gas started, and I'll go, wow, the price of gas is about as high as when Bush was in office. And I said, no, what I say, Bob, is you would think George Bush was still in office. And I watch how people respond, and most of the time people laugh because they know there's your oil connection. And anything from the right, they're given all the airspace because they own the airspace. They are the corporate-controlled media. And I just wanted to say that I want to get off and listen to other people, but that I listen to you every day. I was very proud of your appearance on MSNBC the other night.
Well, thank you.
You're much to be proud of, and I know I've said this to you before, but you created your own self. But your dad would be so proud of you, taking all the values that you guys shared with each other. You really turned out to be a really neat guy and a good father, and I hope you're. And I know your son is very smart, and I hope he proceeds with caution when it comes to considering the armed forces. We do have a program for veterans, Helmets to Hard Hats, that gives people credit for serving their country in any capacity and gives them credit to come into the trades, not as a first-year apprentice. We'll try to bring you in as a second or third or fourth-year apprentice and put you to work at a journeyman's wage. And there are major projects. We also support Helmets to Hard Hats supports high-speed rail, and that's a million jobs, a living wage jobs, primarily union jobs, paying people at least $18 an hour. And of course, that's going to take it through a number of governor's faces in the United States again. And of course, all of the Republicans turned it down because they were speaking on the behalf of the oil and coal companies and the airlines corporations, which would then have to compete, which all the right-wingers always claim that they love that free market, whatever adjective that means in English, and they love competition. So if you want competition, I was a pretty good baseball player. I'm very familiar with competition, actually very good at competing. And so if you want competition, we're saying let's build some trains that go almost as quick as airplanes and watch the price of flying come down. So that makes that strengthens your observation you just shared with the audience concerning minimum wage increases or coal standards or seatbelts. And actually, if we could get back to the country we used to be, to where we led the world, and if all of these common sense proposals are so detrimental from an economic standpoint, then how can one of the only countries in Europe have many of these things in place and have been marching in the direction that we're trying to follow, and that would be Germany,
right,
Cleaning themselves away from coal and nuclear, and their economy is doing quite well, and their workers make a decent living, they have time off, and when their wives get pregnant, the husbands can come home and still have a little stipend to help raise a child to the age of two, and their incarceration rate. So so there's an example of,
there I was on Monday listening to Bill Rainey, who is a professional liar. He's the head of the West Virginia Coal Association. And he was just opening his mouth and stupid stuff was flowing out as if it was one of those toxic sewers that the coal industry builds around its mountaintop removal sites. One of the things he said was that Europe is figuring out that all these things have been, they've tried. Now, what did he say? Europe's tried these schemes and found out they don't work, and now they're moving back to burning coal, which is the most reliable form of energy. Thank goodness. He said that, Mark. And, you know, because I have the very, very real memory of, and it was inspiring to me. I was country mouse gone to the city, seeing all those wind turbines making all that electricity and all those buildings with all those solar panels on them. And lo and behold, what, a couple of weeks ago, Germany crossed 74% of its electricity generation coming from renewables, not from coal, not from Pootie Poot's gas, and not from nuclear. 74% from wind and solar. But here in West Virginia, because we have this sickeningly compliant lapdog media, nobody called Bill Rainey on that and said, you know what? You're a liar. Nobody did that.
People are able to just get on the air of and just say stuff, and it's not challenged, and that's really where we're at. People, there's so many things that are put out there that are just such blatant lies. I think after meeting you, I had seen something about osmotic powers. What the hell? And I think Denmark has an osmotic or Norway an osmotic power plant, just putting a layer of sensitive polyurethane in the ocean where freshwater feeds in the salt or vice versa, and it creates a static charge which they're able to incorporate and run back into a plant to keep it going.
There's all sorts of stuff out there, Mark. I remember one night I was watching Malloy, and Kathy put up this video that had been provided a while before of this one. I mean, it's tested, it works, it's brilliant. Tidal energy thing And it was a wing. It was kind of like a wind turbine with a, it had a propeller on it, but it had a wing, and it was anchored to the seafloor. And with the movement of the tides, the thing just flew around in the water, and the motion of the water drove the impeller, which in turn, just like a wind turbine does, created electricity. Wow. I mean, there's so much, and you know, hopefully one of the benefits of these emission standards will be to encourage further research in that regard. I can't stand the mendacity of the coal industry and the hydrocarbon industry generally, because they cannot be trusted to rely upon facts or to speak anything resembling the truth. The coal industry threw a purple polka-dotted hissy fit. I mean, they had kittens with crocheted tails, Mark, over the cap-and-trade bill. And the cap-and-trade bill was troubling for a variety of reasons, one of which was that it had billions of dollars of welfare giveaways for the coal industry to go out and perfect carbon capture and sequestration technology. And they said, oh, hell no, and they stopped it in the Senate.
Right, government-funded research, which is where we get about 80% of the medicine that we have made in Puerto Rico and Canada for us, is paid for by American tax dollars. So we couldn't do that for cleaning up our environment by funding. They wouldn't even take that report that I think you've mentioned and the folks that did the commercial on your show now. They wouldn't even take a look. They wouldn't even, right. I think what you're talking about is the research and report. Actually, the one I'm a little tired tonight, but the one that I'm thinking of similar to this is the connection to the National Rifle Association and the report they wanted to do on the hazardness. In other words, let the federal government come to determinations on who's killing what with who and what types of weapons, and they won't even. They're so the coal companies of the NR of the weapons industry are so powerful. They won't even let that research be conducted, is my point. And so there's another comparison. It's the power of the corporations. It's not about the style of government from China in 1940 and Chiang Kai-shek and heroin. It's about fascism. It's about the power of the corporate state against the citizen. And the citizens of many countries in the world, already you can find people in Honduras that know what I'm talking about, but you can't find somebody in Cleveland, Ohio that does. You can't find somebody in Augusta, Georgia that does. Most Americans have no clue. They think that they're riding some wave. We are crashing sideways with no questions about anything, and it's just a very sad state, and it's very difficult. You can drive yourself crazy trying to communicate with people, which I don't because I'm not crazy, but I do know that much of what we read, hear, and listen to is controlled by the oil business. What I say to all of the big veterans that come to Florida or live in Florida, and I see their G.I. Jane stickers on their pick them up trucks and their cars, and I'll say, is that yours? And they'll go, yeah. And they get they're very proud of it. And I go, well, I just wanted to make sure. And then I said, from one veteran to another, what do you think Vietnam and Iraq have in common? And the normal ones will develop a little smile, and they don't know. And I said, well, Vietnam had oil. And nobody asked why. People die. And cancer rates. Oh, cancer. Let's raise money. Every gas station you go into the United States, there's a little jar there. Raising money, even in Ocala, Florida, where I hang out, they're raising money for cops, children of cops that have got cancer. So if your public servants can't even afford, you know, the health care, you as a citizen that just probably got out of jail, going to throw a quarter in there, it shows you how sad a state we're in. So, do you think the cancer rates have anything to do with the coal and the auto industry and all the pollution that you can't see anymore? It's still there. So what? They control the message, and sure, people don't question. And they want me to raise money for I'm like, are you kooky? So that's why I'm for single payer. That's why I'm for nationalized health care. Someone might say, well, you're a socialist. I say, well, socialists won World War II. Franklin Roosevelt was a socialist, and he won World War II from a wheelchair. And I would just say this for the people. I am a veteran associated with Veterans for Peace, but I supported John Kerry and President Obama on bombing Syria. and I'll tell you why. We would have bombed Syria. We would have ran rounds right across that, that naval port there. And I know, Bob, you're a man of peace, and I try to be. But I think we could have cock-blocked Vladimir Putin, kept him in his cage. And I would just share with the listeners, if they really want to know G.I. Joe bullshit, Wesley Clark, the three-star general when he was in Bosnia, it wasn't about ethnic cleansing. It was about the oil and gas pipelines there coming in and out of wherever in hell they're going and going into Europe. That's what that was about. It wasn't about ethnic cleansing. So Wesley Clark turns to the Russian generals and said, if you don't want to do play the game like it's meant to be played, he said, we'll start World War III right here and right now. We'll do it. And then with Bill Clinton in the White House, Bill Clinton would have punched some son of a bitches in the mouth. So there is a time to fight, not arbitrarily capricious violence, but there is a time to push bullies back. And you have to struggle for peace, but there's a time to punch a bully in the jaw and knock him clean out. And Vladimir Putin is a bully. Now, George Bush Jr. is a failure of a bully, and we should not have preemptively invaded Iraq. They had nothing to do with 9/11. So we've created, just like the pollution comparison, because we don't conduct ourselves in a normal way from a country's pollution example, how we could lead the world, then people are going to follow the negative leadership, and that's just what George Bush Jr. did. So I'm not for arbitrary violence, even though I was G.I. Jane in the Marine Corps. What I'm saying is Vladimir Putin ran into Crimea because Chevron and French and Hispanic and Italian company had just signed $15 billion worth of shale oil and natural gas, which is found off the coast of Crimea. It has nothing to do with the style of government. And Yanukovych and Vladimir Putin are both fascists, just like George Bush Jr. and Sr. So it's fascism we're up against. It's the workers versus the owners. And that's why white people left Europe. They're voting for the jackasses in the castles. The serfs and the peasants are voting for the inhabitant of the castle. We came here, just like Professor O'Brien said, and to create a nation of divine exceptionalism, American exceptionalism, where everybody was important, where we all stood a chance to make a living wage and help each other. So we don't have that now. Now we vote for the jackasses that hold us down, that give us cancer, and that party in wherever they, in Vegas. So it's just really they control the message. I just wanted to say that it's a new world. Things are moving very quickly. And I'm going to ask the people that have some desire to be impressed with all the G.I. Joe shit to stop adulating it, start fighting for peace, and start fighting against pollution because it's all connected. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, not all wars are waged with bullets.
What's that, Bob?
Not all wars are waged with bullets. There's no way that you could live in Central Appalachia and not and have a conscience or awareness and not realize there's a war being waged on people here.
There's a war being waged specifically on that region you're describing, which goes into Virginia and goes into, and it's been there, and
yeah.
Kennedy's ran right down there in the 60s.
It is a 150 year old siege.
And now your inhabitants, your residents are voting for the very people who are killing them. And you're going to watch a blue state turn red listening to you. I don't know West Virginia politics, but I can just take a glance at things and see that that's going to probably transpire. So we stand a chance of maybe pulling Georgia out of our ass or Texas possibly in a long, real long shot. But so, you know, we're sliding sideways. They control the message. The only way to fight back is to communicate with each other. And I do it constantly without driving myself crazy. But I try to do it in public and in the gas station. We don't live in a society where we're even able to talk to each other anymore. You go to a mall, there's nowhere to talk. There's no downtowns to go. People don't go to bars anymore. So what do? No one talks. So anyway, I just want to hang up and listen to other callers, Bob.
All right, Mark, you have yourself a good evening. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Super.
Bye. See how easy that is? 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. In lieu of in the interim between now and whenever we get our phone processor fixed, if we get it fixed, that's the number we're using, 304-574-8178. This is another anniversary. I don't know if you realize this, but it is. Tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Today, however, is the 10th anniversary of the death of Ronald Reagan, that man who was such a scourge to so many in the world, that man who secretly and illegally traded arms for hostages, and who employed a creep by the name of Oliver North, who now wants to know if there was a ransom paid for Bo Bergdahl, and there was no lightning bolt out of the sky to just render him into a little greasy spot that used to be Oliver North, which is further proof that that vengeful God just ain't quite out there. But I've got a piece here by Dean Blehert, B-L-E-H-E-R-T, Blehert, Blehert. I apologize for the butchery of the name. If butchering it, I am. It is called Lest We Forget, and it needs a reading. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. An elephant never forgets, but this is personal, not political. We must make that distinction, or all our politicians would be institutionalized for forgetting their promises. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. In his day, he was called Teflon because nothing stuck to him. Now, even memory turns slippery. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. Nancy went to his birthday party without him. Was he missed? Probably not. So many people know how to do Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. What was it he said about the dead stormtroopers, that they, like those they killed, were victims? Was that a remembering or a forgetting? And I'll note editorially that Pope Francis has just said the same thing. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He said Americans should be proud of being American. Was that a remembering or a forgetting? Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He used to know a great many things by rote, that is, by heart, such as movie scripts, the speech he took on tour, who knows how much else he was or seemed to be was memorized, is now forgotten, or comes back only in random bits. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He's forgotten about sending arms to Iran for hostages. If he ever knew. If he ever knew, he's forgotten he knew. He does not at this time recall. He may have been an honest man. If not, he is becoming one. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. Nancy is taking good care of him. If he were still president, probably we wouldn't be told. Would we notice? Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He used to be a spokesman for General Electric. Progress is our most important product. Can you still say that? Come on. Progress? Progress? Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He is, has always been, such an easy target. Now he's a sitting duck. It's not sporting to say these things. He suffers from a disease. It could happen to anyone. It could start at the top of our nation and trickle down to the rest of us. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. It's not so bad. He can still play golf with hope, and now even his own children speak well of him. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He is loved and hated for wanting to shrink government, for failing to shrink government, for forgetting the poor, for remembering the rich, etc. He is loathed and adored for saying it is not evil for a person or nation to prosper and be strong. Now, here's the odd thing. Nearly everyone hates or loves Ronald Reagan for something he said or is said to have said, and everyone is certain that somehow events have justified this love or hatred, but hardly anyone remembers or ever knew just what Reagan did or what came of it or how much of it of what has happened since came of it. Today's newspapers are already a gray blur. Tell me, who are these candidates, really? Even our pain becomes unreal the moment our president feels it. What is the difference between such knowing and forgetting? Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. He proved that an actor playing the role of a political leader is impossible to distinguish from a political leader. Is this something we should remember or forget? Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. his baiting the evil empire and his Star Wars plan were so stupid that maybe they ended the Cold War. Lebanon, Libya, Grenada, his idiotic economics brought us huge economic expansion, or was it ruin? Or was that because of the liberal Congress? Oh, listen, I can't think with such stuff. I remember only Doonesbury and that full forelock, a waft on a helicopter, a wash that drowns out his smiling voice. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. Does he still have a full head of hair? Does Nancy tint it? Does he stammer more now, quaver, jowl shaking? Can he still grin that grin? Is there anything he must forget to be able to grin that grin? Is he cheerful about forgetting? Can he joke about it? Isn't Ronald Reagan a pretty good guy? Nicer than Nixon, anyway? Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. Even as we speak, Ronald Reagan is forgetting things. There is so much to forget. He has just this moment forgotten where's the rest of me, and now he's forgotten preferring to be in Philadelphia. And there goes, there you go again. But there's more, so much more to forget. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. We, too, are alive, but forgetting things. Surveys show that 60% of those under 18 don't know that we fought in Vietnam, that we didn't win in Vietnam, who Roosevelt was, or Truman, or Ike. Does anyone remember Gerald Ford? And one-year-olds have forgotten almost everything, though some have remembered how to grin that grin. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. And us, with each new miracle drug, we forget all the earlier miracle drugs that are now called evil drugs. We all know that things have always been the way things are and must always be so. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. If we can forget fast enough, we will at last be able to live in the eternal present, having no past nor future, 100% guilt-free, without plans, budgets, debts, or regrets. Someone will take care of us. Maybe the government. Or hasn't the government always taken care of the people? Ronald Reagan, of course, preached self-reliance, but Ronald Reagan probably isn't allowed to go for a walk alone now, lest he get confused. All those Pacific Palisades mansions look pretty much alike. Ronald Reagan is alive, but forgetting things. Soon, we will forget Ronald Reagan. It is said that what we forget, we must repeat. We will forget Vietnam. He helped us, and have to do it again. We will forget the Holocaust, and have to do it again. We will forget slavery, and have to do it again. We will forget religious intolerance, and racism, and ignorance, and greed, and cruelty, and have to do them again. We will forget ourselves, and have to do them again. We will even forget forgetting, and have to forget again. And so we will have to do Ronald Reagan again. He will die and be forgotten, but when we need him once again, Ronald Reagan will be alive for us. Forgetting things. Good God, I remember the national embarrassment that was that funeral of that criminal. Jesus. Hey, I wanted to make sure thanks go out to Asa. Asa joined in with Henry to help us with the fundraising hole this evening. We are now at $260 to go to reach our fundraising goal for the evening. You know where the PayPal button is. You know what the traditional mail address is. Either way works fine. Thank you, one and all. It is how we keep this on the air. Tracy is with us. Hey,
yay.
Tracy. Yay.
Hi.
Please tell me the taxi is better now.
It is, as a matter of fact. I just got the call. It's okay. As a matter of fact, my son is on his way to pick me up so I could go pick it up. So, yay.
What broke down?
Radiator. And apparently Toyota's, go figure, have a fail safe that so your engine doesn't blow up, it'll shut down if it overheats.
That's good, because you know what? Warped heads and warped head gaskets suck.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it happened on the 405 in the middle, of rush hour. But other than that...
Yeah, that can get real interesting real fast, can't it?
Yeah, especially when you have people barreling down on you, And again, like I said, thank goodness for the Freeway Service Patrol, because I called them, and then they called 911. They sent the guy out right away to block traffic until the actual tow truck got there. And then the tow truck towed me off of the freeway, and then my tow truck driver came. And there you go. So I am now alive and back.
Well, because you seemed just maybe a little bit harried.
Yeah, especially considering my day yesterday, broken tooth, musician canceling on me, and, you know, just the whole shebangy. And then to come home, minding my own business, posting this thing about the NRA, and this person going off on me about gun rights and stuff, and I'm like, buddy, you know, if you had looked up and read about my day, I would just leave me alone. But he wouldn't leave me alone.
Oh no, no. They have like this case hardened shell of privilege, the gun goobers do. And they will not stop attacking. I mean, you were probably busy yesterday, so you didn't hear, but I had the audio. You remember Mr. Martinez, Robert Martinez, who dared to speak up after his son was butchered in the Santa Barbara incident?
Yeah, didn't some idiot say something about a knife and all this?
No. But an upstanding Second Amendment supporting right wing talk host called him a stupid son of a bitch. Because that's how the gun goobers are. I mean, I got a story here in my stack right now. Did you see the photos of the gun goobers proudly marching through Target with their bags of Oreos because they were going to show that they could carry their guns anywhere?
No, because, see, that's the thing. I'm tired.
Yeah, so, right. I know a little. I mean, yeah, you're tired and probably about halfway freaked out. You got a wedding to plan.
Yeah.
Well, that happened. That, and, you know, the gun goobers went marching through Target down in Texas.
In Texas. Oh, duh.
Well, over at a Target in South Carolina stand, a Target worker who was just doing her job just happened to find a loaded handgun in the toy aisle of the Myrtle Beach Target. It was fully loaded. It was sitting on top of a superhero play school toy box. Now, we could probably spend the rest of the night, Tracy, trying to figure out how that happened. I mean, because most of the gun goobers are really, really serious. So there was a gun goob with a loaded handgun in Target in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in the toy department.
Toy department.
And they had to set their gun down for a minute, their freedom protector, to check out. I mean, it's all speculation. Who knows? And then they forgot it. Or, more nefariously, somebody deliberately left it there, hoping to find a news story the next day about the toddler who had blown away somebody or him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
They are sick.
Well, I don't know if you saw what my day was like yesterday and then the conversation with the, you know, and I said, look, how many times I have to say it to you people? I don't care if you have a gun. I personally don't like guns. I have been a victim of gun violence. I have witnessed gun violence. My grandfather committed suicide with a gun. Okay? So, don't like guns. Okay? Plain and simple, don't like them. However, if you want a gun, fine, buy a gun. I don't care. But what's the fucking problem to have a background check? Okay? What's the damn problem with making sure that if you have any kind of form of mental illness, that you don't own a gun?
Lost Tracy. There are so many. I mean, common sense responses to this stuff. Look it. I've argued before. Ah, we're getting Tracy back, I hope. I've argued before. How is it that a cop has to have a psychiatric and psychological workup in order to carry a gun everywhere she goes, but a regular citizen who doesn't have 1/1,000th of the training of a cop doesn't? Beats me. Oh, wait. Tracy, you got to unhold. you got to take me off hold. Yeah, that's. Are you there, Tracy?
Hello.
Yeah, there you are. Hello, Tracy. Must be having connectivity issues. Let's try this again. Well, at least it's not your radiator this time. It's just your internet connection.
And I'm at home. That's the sad part. But like you were just saying about having, like, even the military. I was in the military for a hot second, okay? And I think would have to qualify in order to carry a weapon. And if I didn't qualify, you think they won't let me out and carry a weapon?
I'm guessing no.
I'm thinking no. So, again, because I think if you read on my Facebook page, because I was about to lose it, and I told him, I said, look. And did you see the part where he said, well, if you're going to post maybe you shouldn't post controversial stuff on your page? I'm like, see, this is a beautiful thing. It's
wait,
my
wait,
page.
Wait. What?
Oh, when you get a chance, go to my Facebook page. When I'm talking, scroll down about the NRA, about the logic, about cancer, you know, cigarettes don't kill people, cancer kills people. And first he started off with, obviously, you know, this person's thing about, well, he probably didn't do well on his SATs if he had that kind of logic. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter whether he did well on his SATs. Obviously, he's gotten his point across. He's getting his point across. Okay. And then that's where it all blew up. But then I'm like, look, my question about the background checks. Again, like I said, I have a mental illness. I am bipolar. Okay. Now, like I said, I don't like guns. But if I had a gun at any given point, especially during the dark times when I was suicidal, don't know if I'd still be here. I don't need to have a gun in my house. Okay? Don't want to have a gun in my house. And because I'm a felon, I can't legally own a gun anyway. So there's that. But, again, I could not go get a license without showing if I were to take a written test. And then I'd have to know how to drive a car before I got my license. What's the like you said, they have to have a psychological background to become a cop. What's the difference?
And that automobile you drive, what happens to you if you get caught toddling around L.A. with no auto insurance?
With no auto insurance? Oh, okay, I could go to jail and get my car impounded.
And yet a person who carries a gun with no insurance against the damage that he or she would do gets called a patriot.
A patriot. So what I did say, you know, because about the background checks, and I said, okay, so one of my things are, I think I said something about, I think one of the main reasons why people are really antsy about doing psychological workups and having, you know, background checks is because all these people.
No, they're fools.
With their government draw, who said that they are feeble-minded, so feeble-minded that somebody has to take care of them. And watch that.
I shouldn't laugh. You say that just way too funny.
And that they have, and they can't work because, you know, they feeble minded it. And see, I wonder how many of these people or those people own guns. How many do you want? What do you think is that percentage?
Well, there's that. One of the guys who went out to defend Cloven Bundy, wasn't he the guy that was running around putting bricks through windows and calling on people to rise up in an armed rebellion, but it turned out that he was on Social Security disability?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So,
but back up a minute. Back up just a minute. I think it may be simpler than that. The reason people resist the idea of some sort of a background check and psychological workup. Have you seen the pictures of these people?
Yeah.
And even the ones who aren't on on some sort of federal disability or SSI or whatever. Do you really think that a guy who feels the need to carry an AR-15 to get a burrito at Chipotle is going to pass a psych workup?
Nope.
Because, see, I'm thinking you're probably going to be swinging off several different axes of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual 4th edition if you have to take an assault rifle to Chipotle.
Mm-hmm. That you find a need to even think about. Bob, what do I do for a living?
You drive a cab.
Where do I drive a cab?
In L.A. freaking California.
Driving a cab is probably the most dangerous job in the country, other than being a police officer. Let's not even think about the people that may get into my cab that are crazy or who may try to rob me or whatever. Let's put those people to the side. Let's just talk about the fact that I'm in traffic anywhere up to 12 hours a day driving in L.A. traffic. Right there. Okay? Working crazy hours and all these things. I don't have to do those things anymore. But still, before Jan and I became a couple, I had to work crazy hours and just to be able to drink 5 hours and Red Bull and all that shit to stay awake. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if I don't feel the need to carry a gun in my cab to do my job and to basically, you know, maybe defend myself, because the likelihood, there's more of a likelihood of somebody getting into my cab and trying to rob me at gunpoint or by using a knife than anybody else that could go to work every day. Other than an armor guard or, you know, something like that. And at least at the bank, shit, they're behind glass and shit.
Well, there's so many layers to this argument. And most of them involve the gun goobers not living in reality land, Tracy. The guy who called Robert Martinez a stupid son of a bitch said, well, if you taught your kid to use a gun, maybe actually he thought she was a girl. If you taught your daughter how to use a gun, maybe she'd be alive now. Because, when the other guy starts shooting first, you know, it's just like the TV. The bad guys always miss and the good guys always hit.
Right.
But what good does that gun do you when the first round passes through your noggin?
Exactly. Again, and I don't know how many times, I mean, there's a whole thing on my Facebook page. And I said, look, again, not trying to take anybody's gun away. If you like shooting guns, fine. I don't care as long as your bullet doesn't ricochet and hit me.
See, okay? I do, Tracy. Maybe this is where we part company on this.
No, I mean, I
do care.
I do care.
You were busy having the day from hell yesterday.
Right.
So by definition, you missed out on some stuff that we covered. But I had a story out of Minnesota last night, and it was about a man who was on a cul-de-sac in a neighborhood teaching his 7-year-old little girl
seven,
how to ride a bicycle. And a 61-year-old guy came out of his home trying to tell the guy how to do it, how to teach his daughter how to ride a bicycle. And the guy just politely said, "No, I think I got this. We'll be fine." And the guy said, "Well, by God, if you don't like what I have to say, get off my street." And goes in his house and brings out a shotgun to threaten
the guy teaching
the man and his 7-year-old daughter who's trying to learn to ride a bicycle. Now, mercifully, this thing does not end in disaster.
So it didn't escalate.
It ends with the wife, the guy's wife, taking the gun away from him. And it ends with the cops being called and showing up, and the guy looking at him, "Well, maybe I should have just shot him after all. Next time I probably will."
And like I say, when I say that I don't care if you own a gun, I am with you. I think guns are ridiculous, and only certain people need to have a gun. And
I think in 99% of circumstances, gun ownership is stupid and wrong.
It doesn't, I mean, again, I grew up in South Central, Bob, okay, in the middle of the crack wars back in the day. We didn't have a gun in the house.
Because in the middle of the crack wars in South Central, if there's gunfire going on, drive-bys and shit, you hit the, tell me if I'm wrong, you hit the dirt, you try to put some walls between you and wherever the bullets are coming from, absolutely, and you don't run out trying to shoot back.
No. You do not. It's so funny because, I mean, it's been years since...
The day I almost got shot in the head by my drunk neighbor while I was trying to build a swing set for my children, you know what I did?
Hit the dirt.
I hit the dirt, crawled inside, and stayed in my house until we had called over and said, "What the hell does he think he's doing?"
Again,
I did not shoot back.
I have lived 48 years and managed never to use a gun, other than, like I said, for the few moments that I was in the military. And, you know, shooting water guns at the thing, the balloons at a fair.
Yeah.
To me, when people have to come, here's my thing. If you're constantly on the defense about the right for you to own a gun, if you constantly have the need to defend it, then there might be a problem.
There might be a little paranoia burbling around underneath.
You know, because, again, to attack me on my face, I said, look.
Oh, I just read that whole thing, by the way.
Oh, you see? Did you like the part where he told me I should censor myself?
Yeah, I thought that was real charming.
Did I handle that well?
Yeah, you handled that better than I would have.
And considering the day that I had yesterday, am I good?
You're very good. I mean, the fact that you weren't just a total mess with a straw in a rum bottle. I mean,
dude, let me tell you. When I finally got home yesterday, because of course when all this is going on, when he's berating me about my views and stuff like that, and I'm going, at this point, I don't even know if I'm going to be able, when I'm going to be able to go back to work, because we don't know what's wrong with the car. Okay, so now I'm worrying about if I'm going to be, you know, when I'm going to, if the car is even fixable, because I didn't know if, like you said, if I had blown a head gasket through a rod or whatever, you know. So I'm at my wit's end. And you're going to roll up on me with some bullshit like this? For real? And then again, I am actually surprised about how calm I was, because I was just like, and then I have to send a letter to you. He sent me a private message about, you know, I don't know why you sent me a friend request. Okay, let me give you a background. I haven't seen or talked to this guy since we went to Valley College together. And I left Valley in 2009. Okay, and he left, I think, the year before me. So it's been at least maybe 5 years since I've seen him. And you know, why is he so upset about how I feel about guns? I have that right. And that's what my next thing is. What about my right not to care about what you think?
No. The Second Amendment babies must be listened to or they will shoot you.
And I listened to you enough to know that. And that is why, you know, again, like I said, I don't care. I mean, again, of course, I do care if you own a gun. And one of the people that I know that's been, you know, on this, like the one about the whole thing about the knife. Well, you know, he killed three people with a knife. Again,
Mm-hmm. I know.
Random.
And mentally ill, most assuredly. And you know what? The fact that the cop knocked on the door and he said, "No, I'm not crazy." Oh, okay, citizen. Goodbye now. That's not. Well, I mean, that's probably bad policing. But I guarantee you, if his skin had been another shade closer to a paper bag.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, breaking news. Shorty from L.A. just sent a story along. This is happening even as we speak, Tracy. Seattle Pacific campus shooting, 4 wounded, 2 in custody. At least 4 people were shot Thursday afternoon at Seattle Pacific University in Seattle. Police have 1 suspect in custody. A 2nd suspect is at large. He is a white man with a long-sleeved blue shirt with long vertical stripes. Police said he's armed with a handgun. The shooting happened about 3:30 p.m. in Otto Miller Hall, 3rd Avenue West, and West Nickerson Street in Seattle. The campus was on lockdown because freedom.
Freedom. Again. Why do you need an arsenal?
Okay, oh, and then if you go over and look at my Facebook page, I put up a post earlier today that has gotten quite a bit of traffic. I saw it early and just sort of gasped in horror. A Georgia company, a Georgia manufacturer of bullets, has proudly announced that they have invented a bullet that does maximum damage to the human body. This is the last bullet you'll ever need. Watch and see the technology for yourself. It is a solid copper bullet that breaks into a lot of tiny pieces and just rips the shit out of every human organ wherever it hits. It falls apart on contact and just goes, it turns into shrapnel. Right now they only make it in 9mm, but they're also going to make it in 38 ACP, or in 38, 380 semi-automatic round. They're also going to make it in 45 and 40 and 10mm. And in shotgun slugs.
Oh!
I feel safer already, don't you?
Uh-huh. Oh, here, let me read to you what he wrote to me in response to me telling him to just leave me alone. Okay. He went on, "I'm a student of philosophy and the Constitution, and having ancestors that died on both sides of the Revolutionary War, the fight for the right to bear arms is something I thoroughly understand. If you're going to post about it and I catch it, I'll likely comment. Always respectful, but I will probably comment because I think it's very important, a very important issue right now. If we take the wrong steps, can have a negative lasting impact on generations of Americans to come. If you don't want to talk politics, don't post politics. If you prefer people around you who don't speak their mind on topics that arouse their passion, well, then probably you don't have any business being around you. Never did I ask them to be around me." And so then I didn't respond. That was 6 hours ago. And then this morning, that considered, with the disrespect you've shown me here, intended or not, along with the fact that you have never even been on my page, because I never have. I don't care. I wonder why you bothered sending me a friend request in the first place. People are
man, this dude is shiny with privilege.
on my list are only those who I respect. I am interested in lives of and with whom I'm interested in interacting. That said, I don't feel your esteem or after your remarks, consider that I may have never really had it. No. So I guess we have different philosophies on what a friend is.
Oh, philosophy, schmosophy. What a baby.
I hope life brings you happiness you seek and true enlightenment. No bad hard feeling. Take care. Maybe I'll see you around. And I didn't respond. Does that smack
right,
of privilege?
Right, because in not, well, it smacks of privilege, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And it smacks of probably something bordering on clinically diagnosable narcissism.
Yeah.
But you, Tracy, whether you realized it or not, were taking to heart the adage of the prophet Samuel Clemens, peace be upon him,
mm-hmm.
who said, never waller with a hog. You'll both get covered in shit, and the hog likes it.
Mm-hmm. Because, like I said,
I don't think he actually used the brown word, but I'm pretty close there.
You know, I just, like I said, I don't go to people's, I may glance on people's pages, you know, and there's a lot of pages that I go on and I don't agree with what they say, but I don't feel the need to comment. Because for the most part, yes, pretty much everybody on my Facebook page is on the same accord as I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are the kind of people that I want to be around.
Well, see, yeah, I knew when I posted what I posted this morning that I wouldn't piss you off. When I noted that it's a little bit of a stretch to expect a Bronze Age god to understand the workings of an internal combustion engine. But, you know, he managed to keep you safe, which is what was cool, what mattered.
Right,
By the way, you got fan mail here. Yeah, Danny just wrote in. Ola Bob, I so love when you and Tracy talk and you and Sandra. Hell, I love all the conversations, Danny says. For most of my life, he says, the gun nuts were just that, nuts and borderline extremists. Unfortunately, now they are gundamentalists. Oh, we have a new word, Tracy. They are gundamentalists.
I like that.
And are to be dealt with accordingly. Reason, logic, nor reality can be allowed to alter their article of faith. May Zeus help us all. Goddamn crazy people. They all require me to have a tennis ball and duct tape on hand just to listen to them.
Oh, I came up with a new word. You know how I'm always having trouble saying evangelicals?
Yeah, evangelicals, yes.
And the other day I said it and it came out evil genitals.
I like that too. Then again, and you were a little late getting to the program, but in Oklahoma, you apparently have to spell genitals on the floor of the Senate of the state of Oklahoma. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, really. Because he was reading a segment from a book by Toni Morrison, and he had to spell genitals, and then he said anus, and then he said and he said, I'll leave the rest to your imagination. So we've been working tonight on trying to figure out, was it Volvo or Victrola or vodka or vulcanized victimization. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell.
Well, see, this is the thing. I mean, like I said, I welcome a debate every so often when I'm in a mood. And I'm always usually up to a pretty healthy debate. But then when I get to the point where I'm like, look, I don't want to... I have explained to you how I feel about guns, okay? Which is my right. And I would expect, if I ask you, not that I don't want to keep discussing this, to leave me alone. But then, like you said, when people have, they have this thing about privilege, and they feel that they could just keep going on and on.
Oh, no. Lost Tracy again, and her bandwidth is at home. The audio was really good for a while. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks also going out. Thomas has jumped in alongside Asa and Henry, and so we've taken care of $100 of the $330 shortfall. Much appreciated. Are you there, Tracy?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Just stand by a second. Just stand by,
okay.
Please. So anyway, we've taken care of $100 of the $330 shortfall. That means 23 more folks at 10 bucks a piece, and we can get out of this hole, hopefully. So that's where that stands. Thanks to Thomas and to Asa and to Henry. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Tracy. Go ahead.
No. Like I said, I just, if I was, again, it's one of those things when I don't have, what did Mom used to tell us? If you don't have anything nice to say about somebody,
yeah,
don't
say anything else. That's the Bambi rule. Bumper, what have I told you? If you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all.
And I said nice, and I was nice, and that's why I left it alone. But that's what tickles me, because I didn't engage anymore. I was done. I said what I had to say, and again, he's like, well, you're on my news feed. Take me off your news feed.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I have a friend, very good friend. I love her dearly. She's an incredible individual who happens to be a Republican. Yes, she's my friend, and I love her. But she's gotten to the point now, she's taken me off of her news feed. So she doesn't see all my stuff about what I post. And guess what? This is a good thing.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because we are still friends. And we have our differences. And she would, I know Delina, she would never, after, you know, what I went through yesterday and all this, even if she was still on my news feed and all that, and what I posted about guns and stuff like that, she would have left me alone, because she is my friend. You, my love, are an acquaintance. If you walked up to me and slapped me upside my head, I would not even remember you. I'd be like, why is this white man slapping me upside the head? You know, it's one of those things.
And the wedding is in how many days now?
What's today's date?
Today is the 5th.
16 days.
Yeah, see, you don't need to be worrying about this stuff right now.
No, and that's why I left it alone. I'm like...
So did you get... So when do you get the chipped tooth fixed?
Tomorrow.
Okay. And have you found a musician yet?
Actually, the person just texted me saying that who was supposed to do the wedding is back in.
Okay, so you can stand down a little bit from Sweat Condition Alpha.
Mm-hmm. It is no longer... we no longer have to worry about me, you know, roaming the streets of Los Angeles looking for a person to play at my wedding. It is all good. I am. I finally found the suits for the little boys, and those have been hemmed. I found the shirts, and everybody, I think at this point, as a matter of fact, I'm going later on this evening to get the catering. We're having Mediterranean food. So we're having chicken and beef kebab.
Yummy.
Rice, pita bread, tabbouleh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love me some.
And the cucumber with white stuff and dill, which I won't fuck with because I don't like dill.
Oh, now quit it. That's delicious. The tzatziki?
I don't like dill.
Oh, no, no. On the beef kebabs, it's going to be awesome.
Well, no, they're going to have that. I just won't eat it.
Oh, I'm going to have to post mean things on your Facebook page now, Tracy.
I know. It's okay, because you're entitled. Why? Because freedom.
Yeah, right. Wolverines, you know.
Wolverines. So it's going to be easy? Really easy?
You know, when tzatziki is outlawed, only outlaws will have tzatziki.
No, this is going to be... We're going to have fun.
This is going to be the party of the night in L.A., maybe the whole weekend.
The whole weekend. And then Sunday, the next day, is our Juneteenth celebration. And I have been ordered. It's so funny because I'm making mac and cheese. And Roger, who is the wedding coordinator, he's like, I was just going to get up Sunday morning and make it. He's like, no, please make it Thursday. Now, notice how...
You paused yourself again, Tracy. There we go.
Nope, I didn't say you have so much to do that don't make the mac and cheese. No, just do it a couple of days early.
I mean, he knows. He knows.
I didn't get absolution for making the mac and cheese.
No.
I still have to make the mac and cheese. I just have to make it a couple of days earlier because I that's what I wanted to do. The only problem is that we don't have a big freezer because I got to do, you know, the half steamer trays or whatever that you put in the thing. I got to make four of those.
Woo!
And I don't have anywhere in my refrigerator and freezer. It's just not big enough. So Roger's like, I will come and get it. You make it, come get it, and I'll put it in my refrigerator and freezer. You just, because I have to.
I don't know. Roger's sounding like he's got a little too much invested in this mac and cheese. You might send four and get three back.
Well, I'm going to make him one because he is my de facto wedding coordinator, and he won't let me pay him, which if a tray of my mac and cheese will make the man happy, who am I?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's better than hickory nuts for your entailment.
It's so funny because I didn't even know because for Thanksgiving, I made, you know, I was up in Oregon with my sister for Thanksgiving, and I made two of the big trays. And, of course, one tray was gone, but the second tray, and my mom's like, just freeze it. So they froze it because her boyfriend hunts, and they have a deep freezer. But at least he hunts with a bow and arrow. He doesn't go out killing Bambi with an AK-47. And he only hunts what he will eat.
Sure.
So he goes, they froze the mac and cheese and used it for their holiday party for New Year's Eve. And they said it was still amazing. So I know it freezes well now. I had no idea.
I think it's going to be a hairy weekend, but it is going to be.
No, I'm happy.
It's going to be a blast. Let's see. Just got a note in from, Granny T in Tennessee, another Tracy fan mail. Granny T says, evil genital, hilarious. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, he that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Happy wedding wishes from Granny T.
And here's the best part. My wedding is a week before. So this weekend is Gay Pride this weekend, and I'm working the booth. The following weekend is he out there?
Yeah, he's
waiting.
Oh,
didn't know. Sorry.
Well, it sounds like you got stuff to do, Tracy. It's been a wonderful conversation.
You have a wonderful evening. I just want to say.
Yeah. Okay, so it's apparently the connection has gone straight to perdition. But thank you, Tracy. Thank you very much. And you know, I know you're just running in circles. But it's going to be a wonderful evening, a wonderful day, a wonderful blessed event. And I just wish, and all of us do, massive happiness for you both and for everyone who celebrates your nuptials with you. They do very good work over at All In with Chris Hayes, and I just saw some screenshots here, before and after tweets, and this is some serious interweb tube research here, before and after tweets on the Bo Bergdahl story. Here's someone who calls him or herself Hawkeye. Please pray, this is months ago, please pray for return of Bo Robert Bergdahl captured by Afghan Taliban June 30th, 2009. POW! Exclamation point. Bring Bo home. And then just recently, thanks for your comments just now to Hugh Hewitt concerning Bergdahl, the traitor. I agree, Obama being so reckless with American interests. Here's one from somebody called Thomas on Twitter. Why has Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl been left behind and practically forgotten by the Obama administration? That was a long time ago. Now this whole pro-Bergdahl by Obama is just another example of the Obama terrorist appeasement policy. Impeach, all caps. Here's Bob, who is not me. Bring Sergeant Bo Bergdahl home. I will shout from the mountaintops until he comes home. Retweet to all and all vets. Let's roll, people. And then in the not-too-distant past, Bergdahl is a traitor. He should be executed. Obama should be impeached for derelict of duty, negotiates with enemy. And a website. Here's George McAdoo. Thanks for follow. Thank you for the opportunity to sign the petition to bring home Bo Bergdahl, Semper Fi. And here's the new one. Shock claim, Army wanted to shoot Bergdahl, and IMO he should be. Stand him against the wall with Obummer. And then finally, Jazzy, will this administration do anything to bring POW Bo Bergdahl home? Hashtag bring back Bergdahl. And then here recently, I signed that petition. Where's the petition to hang the traitor? And there's tons of these things. What else? Let's see. Here's another one. This one courtesy of Matt over at Majority FM, a producer for Sam Cedar. Let's see. He found a ton of these. Let's see. Shannon. Bo Robert Bergdahl, POW, needs to come home now. No man left behind. I will not stop tweeting about it. Bring Bo Bergdahl, POW since 2009, home. No man left behind. And then, of course, it all goes completely sideways. Five Taliban terrorists for U.S. soldier. Obama had to lay out the red carpet for the terrorists. This is not how to do it. Oh, well. And, of course, it does turn out now that the reason it was done the way it was because the Taliban had said if word leaked that Bergdahl might be killed, probably would be killed, and the people who were trying to arrange the deal, exercising just a little degree of common humanity in the midst of an inhuman conflict, were dealing with their own intransigence on the Taliban side, who would probably have come and shot Bergdahl personally had they known a deal was in the works. Can you imagine Barack Obama being able to tell any member of the Republican Party that this was going to happen and expecting them to remain silent? Daryl Issa? Steve King? John Goddamn McCain? Not hardly. Here's someone named Sean. At Senator John McCain, after 4 years in captivity in Afghan, Pakistan, let's bring Bo home. View petition. And here's Sean now. Hashtag Obama comes to the rescue when deserting fellow citizens for the waiting arms of the Taliban makes no difference. And this is probably the most precious one of all. This is Charlie Daniels. Yeah. That Charlie Daniels. Uneasy Rider? Yeah. Devil Went Down to Georgia? Yeah. 12 June 2012, Charlie Daniels on Twitter. Obama, it's time to bring Sergeant Bo Bergdahl home. He's been a Taliban prisoner for 4 years. Rescue him. It's more important than rescuing GM. Now here is Charlie Daniels on the third day of June. Obama can trade five of the most dangerous men in the world for a soldier who may be a deserter and can't even make a call to save a hero. does it become clear? How much more clear does the racism need to be? The anything, anything that Barack Obama does is wrong as a matter of course, by definition. Jesus. So, you know, there you go. And again, as we move into the last 15 minutes of the program, a reminder, we need 23 more people at 10 bucks a piece or some combination thereof so that we are not in a $390 hole to try to close out the week. 23 folks, 10 bucks, $230 to get out of our fundraising slump here at the beginning of June. And this, I mentioned this talking with Tracy. Listen to the excited, the absolutely excited, thrilled sound of this narrator talking about this brutal new round that has the potential to absolutely chew a little child to pieces in a school or maybe ruin some 19-year-old's existence in a movie theater or mall or a shopping center or a mosque or a synagogue or a church or a temple. Just listen to the excitement. This is the G2 Research, R-I-P, G2-R-M-O. What we're going to have here is a lot of gunny noises, and in the video you see it going through cinder blocks and what's called ballistic gelatin and stuff like that. And listen to the thrilling music, and well, you don't need me for this. They're shooting ballistic gelatin, they're shooting watermelons, they're shooting cinder blocks and plywood. Oh, yeah. And by the way, those were some fully automatic weapons you were hearing there. How many rounds in that short span of time?
Since the invention of the handgun cartridge.
Wow, what a voiceover.
Ammunition manufacturers have sought to maximize the lethal potential of its projectiles. With this goal in mind, the founders of G2 Research in Winder, Georgia, have engineered a projectile like no other. That projectile is the radically invasive projectile. The last round you'll ever need.
Yeah, some first grader in a school somewhere yet to be determined. It's probably a round they never needed in the first place.
Designed to maximize the dissipation of energy where it is needed and defeat every major obstacle in its path, there is truly nothing else like it. The RIP cartridge is a 96-grain, CNC machined, solid copper, lead-free projectile. At a glance, the differences in geometry between the RIP and any other bullet of the past are quite drastic. The performance of the RIP is achieved utilizing this innovative trocar design. This patent-pending geometry creates a unique turbulence that, along with the center of mass, stabilizes the projectile. As material fills the hollow center, the trocar points joined at the rim begin to function much like a hole saw, effectively ripping through obstacles.
Material. As material fills the center. By material, we mean blood, guts, bone, innards. because this is not going to be used for hunting. Well, I mean, it is. And presumably any lawful gun owner will be able to purchase this. And then when they're nice and insane, they can go and use it at a nightclub or maybe at a grocery store or maybe a Sunday picnic.
Like plywood, autoglass, sheetrock, cinder block, sheet metal, and multiple layers of denim.
Multiple layers of denim. Who wears that? Golly, I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, hey, it's Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, so, you know, I heard an interesting observation about, you know, as far as what, is his name Bergdahl?
Yeah, Bergdahl. Yeah,
Bergdahl. You know, the whole, it's always the people in the back who are upset about soldiers that walk who are on the front line. But, you know, the people who are on the front line, they're like, they're all minutes away from doing the same damn thing. So, you know, if that was the case, it's sickening hearing these people here again who would never, ever consider stepping in a line of fire. If this country is so sick, I mean, just what you were reading, I mean, it's only because, you know, these poor people just being used, you know, as part of the, I don't know, we hate Obama no matter what he does or what, now he's trying to secretly close Gitmo. I wish he would blame us into closing it. You know what I mean? What would be the problem with
and
that?
And apparently it means nothing that these five alleged Taliban members had never been charged with anything.
Well, no, simply been
warehoused and held in a concentration camp for God knows how long.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, it's just really sick. But, and they, you know, and I always think, well, and Obama is forever towing the line because he's over in Europe talking about, you know, no country should bully another country. And I'm like, dude, where, you know, what are you talking about? So he doesn't veer from the standard foreign policy of the U.S. in the slightest. You know, he's as much of a hawk as any other president, you know, in the last half a century.
Yeah.
And so it's just that it's a Negro, I guess.
Sandra, when John D. Rockefeller IV reaches that conclusion, you know that you just know.
Because we've had too many presidents do exactly what he's done. I mean, when I saw Oliver North on TV, I thought, wow, we really are in the rabbit hole. That motherfucker needs to just stay the hell away. How in the world can he even?
Can we get a glory call for Oliver North?
Yeah, but how dare he show his face? And it's just stunning. And I guess it's because we're in an idiocracy, you know, because anyone who pays any attention, even in the slightest, know that this is just a non-story. It's nothing.
But consider how much nothing there was with Whitewater and Monica Lewinsky, and that, you know, that spawned an entire impeachment proceeding.
Well,
and mark my words, come November, if things go pear shaped in the Senate, there will be impeachment hearings come January.
Well, and what? I mean, and so I don't know. Ever since they, what are they going to do? They're going to impeach him and do what? Put Biden in there? I mean, you know, what is the end game? It's all just theater, you know?
But you know, that you're ascribing, Sandra, a level of cognition to them that I don't think they actually possess, because they're not thinking about end games. They have been driven completely crazy by the fact that we are now into year five of a black man in the White House. I mean, they are gone stark raven mad.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just think, I mean, it's just, it's more disturbing the sort of, the base, you know, how they are. I mean, you know, this is their, you know, this rah-rah troops. And I guess, they've gotten licensed to do this too, because this guy isn't what they expect him to be. I mean, I don't even understand. It's like 5 years. Who cares how he got into the Taliban hands? He was a POW for 5 years. That should cancel out whatever. I mean, don't you remember John McCain did whatever he was told for the whole time he was there?
Yeah, he got himself favorable treatment by singing like a canary, didn't he?
Right, and no one's holding that again. It's not even a mention, because he was tortured. So before the country went completely crazy, being tortured, was like, yeah, and you got a pass, like McCain did. But I guess since we do it too, I mean, I don't really know. I just think that I really think that movie is pretty much about where we're at.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't like overly simplistic answers, Sandra, but I can't come up with anything else now besides they are just deranged by race.
Well, and it's just, I mean, I was just, because I've been sick in this, and the turnout in California was 18%, the lowest in history.
Oh my God.
So, and crazy ass primary is just so bad, the setup here. They really have to step up and change it.
But Sandra, it's not Mississippi where Pappy McDaniel's people got locked in the courthouse where all the votes were kept.
No, but it's absurd that they dropped $8 million in that race between two Republicans. For what? What's the diff? $8 million, Bob? Really?
Who knew there was $8 million in Mississippi?
Well, exactly. But, it's just, I don't know, I was a bit taken aback by that turnout, though, because it's so bad that they're looking at a possible teabagger and right-wing Sarah Palin type for controller.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay? So that's how that primary is shaking out. No one wants, no one wants no fucking Republican as a controller. But because the primary is the way it is, that's what, and the woman who's running, it's just, I'm telling you, you need to look at her. It's Sarah Palin all over again.
Oh, God, I don't know if I can.
And she, she's fairly good looking and just some sort of right-wing religious freak, so.
Well, it's the order of the day. Remember, there's a hog castrator running for Senate from Iowa.
Oh, that's still in the game, right?
Oh, she won her primary.
I'm sorry to laugh, but that is...
I expect her to be a member of the United States Senate come January.
Oh, no. Well, listen, I'll let you go. Your show is over with. But the Sterling family must be pretty happy at the moment.
I'd be happy for...
so damn stupid. $2 billion before his team wasn't worth, but maybe a half a billion, $2 billion. Shit, I'm like... Let's start talking about the N-word every day, then, if it brings that kind of reward, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Please. Well, anyway, listen,
have a good evening, too. I hope we'll talk longer soon.
Okay, bye.
See you, Sandra. Bye. Yeah, the same thing occurred to me. I'll tell you what I want to know. Whether it's the woman screaming the word in New York, or Donald Trump, or Donald Sterling, I want to know, because apparently they've all got the same black friend. And I just want to know who it is. Sheesh. It is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for sharing your time with us this evening and conversation, emails, what have you. Twitter, Facebook, all and sundry. It's what makes it all worthwhile. And thanks for helping us get a little ways down the road toward filling in the hole. Thank you very much. If you're listening to this podcast in a podcast form, it's never too late. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Sparky and Lottie and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Happy birthday, Lottie, again. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch. Thanks to hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and acact.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.